Everybody, you're listening to Birth of a New Earth Radio. My name is Janice Borsello. I'm delighted to be your host for this amazing show, and I am here tonight with Ingrid Castle, who is a host at Republic Broadcasting Network. She's also a personal friend of mine. She is extremely knowledgeable about vaccines and many other issues. And she and I have been conversing a number of times about the topic of circumcision, which we were talking about on your show, Ingrid, yes?
Well, absolutely. I have a show called Immunize Wisely on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And as the director of Vaccination Liberation, I realized over the years that the whole vaccine issue was people were under mind control. And I found the same thing with the circumcision issue. I feel that there's so many issues that people have been subject to mind control from an early age, from their parents. It's literally a programming, and it's the way they think about what's true and what's not. The earth is flat, the earth is round. I mean, there's belief systems that are so deeply ingrained in people from an early age that it's hard to shake. Mm-hmm. And so it's usually, you know, if they get out of the American school system, they have a better chance of questioning. But if when they go through the school system, the programming tends to be reinforced.
And of course, there's the television, and now we have the cell phones. And so the programming is constant. It's 24/7 with the cell phones pulsing these frequencies into people's bodies and brains. That, I mean, there's information on the frequencies, and there's also demonic energies coming in on the frequencies. So, yeah, it's a very serious situation we have on the earth right now. But it was interesting when we talked about the topic of circumcision, because you did get some feedback from some of the men in the audience who are circumcised, who were not happy about the conversation. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I thought it really bizarre. It was like they were defensive that any of this trauma could affect their manhood. And, you know, none of these men, I have to admit, have a healthy relationship with a female. So that's a tale right there. And this is something rooted deep in the subconscious. So the type of women that they admittedly attract, I mean, I know with one of the men, he admitted that these women are all screwed up. They're addicted to drugs. They have all these problems. Well, where, you know, is this the kind of women he's attracting? I mean, what is he putting out? You know, you have to wonder, because we do live in a world of projection. And we attract from our own psyche, our own persona, our own aura, you know, things that we need to learn and teach. So we always need to, you know, take a look at ourselves. I feel like this whole lifetime, actually, but especially everything accelerating in the last 20 years, I feel the energy and the shift on the planet, you know, would lead all of us to have more self-reflection, you know, of the thoughts that, you know, ramble in our brain. You know, where are they coming from? You know, what are they ego-based? Are they spirit-based? Mm-hmm. Are they in the past? Are they always, you know, in the future? Are we in the present moment? You know, and what's our soul purpose here? You know, and really get into a place of moving forward spiritually. And I, you know, I'm always connecting with people of like mind. So I'm always really gratified, but I do run into people that are, you know, with more normie type people that are clearly more part of, I mean, they don't want to admit that they're under mind control, but their addictions reveal that, you know, whether it's alcohol or, you know, even coffee and their cell phone, you know.
Right, their cell phone.
You know, like, you know, you go to an AA meeting to get off the alcohol, which I think AA is wonderful, but they place these, where I live, Denise, all the AA meetings, even the Al-Anon meeting at a church up in Hayden, is right below a cell tower. They literally have a cell tower, like, right there in the parking lot, right there. And then lots of coffee.
Yeah, lots of coffee. Know? That's been going on for decades. Yeah,
because so they go from one addiction to another.
Yeah.
And coffee, I mean, cigarettes and coffee, you know, it's like that. You know, yeah. So it's like switching addictions. And I think this is, you know, I think the pain that people feel can really seriously be traced to childhood. I mean, I think a lot of females, you know, have pain growing up. The pedophilia stuff is just coming out in droves. And I remember in college, I went to college in California, and I was glad to escape California, but my father suggested I go there for a humanistic psychology degree at the University of Redlands. They had a more, you know, liberal arts type view, you know, psychology, they had a transhumanist psychology, or anyway, they had a, not trans, anyway, it was transcendental psychology, or anyway, it was more spiritually based and kind of, you know, checking out the psyche and the spirit together. And so I went, you know, after 2 years at another school. And so, of course, you're socializing with other young adults. And it was a very interesting period of time for me because I found that literally 50% of my girlfriends were bisexual. And when you really dug deep into that, they all had abuse by their siblings and uncles. So they didn't trust men.
Okay.
So I'm just saying this is you know, we're talking about circumcision affecting men and their relationship with women.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we did a whole show on that. We can go over some of these things about circumcision, but to me, it's something that really hits men's subconscious. And I was really gratified that Dr. Dean Lloyd was, willing in his early years, in his 20s, to really explore that because he realized he had this, he was an angry kid and he didn't like his mom. And his mom did have issues, but, you know, when he realized that his mom was actually present at his circumcision, you know, that's a deep subconscious wound.
You know, and I have to interject here because I ran into a woman today who has 5 children, 4 girls and a boy. And the boy, I could tell, like, he pulled away from her and he had an attitude toward her that was completely different from the girl's attitude toward her. My immediate thought was, he's circumcised.
And was he?
I don't know. I didn't ask her. You know, I just met her. And I was really, pleased to meet a woman that has 5 children. Because it's so rare these days to meet somebody that is having large families, you know, especially white people. So we got into that conversation, but yeah, she said something about how much I love my children. My children are my life. And she went to pet her son, and she said, most of the time. And her son just pulled away from her. It was very interesting. And I immediately thought, I bet that that boy is circumcised and he's got a completely different kind of relationship with his mother than the girls.
Which is interesting because, you know, girls tend to be daddy's girls. You know, we're always attracted to the opposite sex. They're different from us. We want to learn from the opposite sex. And boys just love their mothers. You know, they breastfeed from their mother and that close relationship. And there's something that must have entered into that relationship. And it's most likely something subconscious that he's mad at her. And he, you know, at least there's boys that will recognize that. Because unless they heal that, they can't really have a successful relationship with a female.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the first things, you know, because I'm single. And to me, when you're looking for a man to partner with, one of the first things I want to know is, what's your relationship like with your mother? Because mm-hmm. if you don't have a relationship that's loving with your mom, it's not likely you're going to have a loving relationship with any woman. You know, it's exactly. just that simple. But it's very hard for the men in our world, especially, you know, our age. I'm 65, and most of the boys were circumcised in infancy. And the men that are our age are therefore not only extremely traumatized, not only brain damaged from the intensity of the trauma, but have had, you know, an interruption in bonding, in love, in an ability to experience love. We all have, being born in a hospital, but for the boys, it's much more severe because of the genital torture.
It's not just the hospital birth, but the fact that it occurred when they should be protected by their parents.
100%.
And primarily the mother, because the mother's the primary caregiver of a newborn. So, yeah. I just have to say this. When it comes to exploring relationships, when I'm, you know, after my last couple, it's like, well, I've told many women the same thing. You want to check out one, their relationship with their mother, their relationship with their ex, their relationship with their children. You know, mm-hmm. are those healthy relationships? I mean, even if they're not healthy, why are they not healthy? And what mistakes are they taking responsibility for in raising them?
Yeah, yeah. So many men are distanced from their children. Well, there's a lot going on with this. It's not just circumcision. Of course, men are sort of relegated to the sidelines during the birth of their children, and these people in white coats step in and usurp the male role, which is a major problem for healthy marriages. It totally breaks down healthy families. So the men are sidelined. They're not able to bond with their children. Some of them don't even meet their babies, you know, for a day or two or more, depending on the situation. If a baby's in NICU, you know, the parents don't even get to hold the child.
Exactly.
So the fathers are not able to bond with their children. And of course, marriages are breaking down left and right. It's like love cannot be preserved in the face of the abuse that's coming from the medical establishment.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. In fact, I have an older version of your book. I love the color cover of this book.
Oh, right on.
I want everyone to see it because this is a Bible. Everyone should have this.
Thank you.
He told me that people can't get it on Amazon anymore, but they can order it from you.
Yeah, they can only order it from me at birthofanewearth.com.
Yeah,
you gotta go to my website to get my books.
I think everyone needs to own that. They need to really assimilate the material. It's depressing, but it's a must read. People need to understand why to avoid a hospital birth. I mean, every time I see someone pregnant or I hear someone, I said, well, are they going to have a home birth? And they all, Well, these young people are, they seem to be the most subject to mind control. I think they went to public school, that kind of thing. So if they're doing like a regular job, you know, they're, you know, working at a, you know, a restaurant or, you know, a coffee shop or whatever, they you know, a lot of them are just high school graduates and that kind of thing. And they, you know, they would, you know, they're right there with the programming of this culture. And they, you know, pediatricians, you know, I was just talking to my friend, her neighbor has a newborn that's really getting messed up from the doctors and shots and the whole thing. And she's trying to gently educate them. 5 months old. Is it 5 months old? Yeah, the baby's 5 months old. And she's pretty messed up. It's a little girl, you know, messed up from the shots. And then she took her meter in there. And the guy, or lent the meter to him. And apparently they had a baby monitor in there. You know how hot baby. I just flipped out. Couldn't believe that they had, it's the hottest thing in the house.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've ever seen, I should bring that up so that people can see this. Keep talking, Ingrid, because I want to look for this photo so people can see what is going on with the baby monitors. This is very
important. That would be, I think, you know, when you look at all the EMF, RF, I call it, you know, frankly, MWR, microwave radiation, that's throughout your house. There's a radio frequencies. There's all kinds of dirty electricity. There's a lot of going on. And there's a new meter called a Comprotec. Semprotec. That's what it is. Semprotec. Protec. Semprotec. Anyway, for $200, it does like three different things, you know.
Magnetic fields. Magnetic fields, electric fields, that kind of thing, and then the radiation, the EMF, what they call electromagnetic fields.
Three things, and all in one for $207. That's like a really screaming deal compared to like Safe Living and, I mean, Safe and Sound. I'm sorry.
Safe and Sound Pro. Yeah. I want people to see this. Can you see this, Ingrid? Can you see this on my
screen? Absolutely. This
okay.
is
look at the baby monitor. Of all of these deadly devices, look at the radiation levels from the baby monitor, which this is not the only chart that shows it. I've got several in my book, Are Wireless Devices Really Safe? This is clear proof that they're trying to harm the babies. 100%.
Right. And I'm glad you have microwave oven on there. You know, it's interesting, the cordless phone comparison to cell phone. I've seen deck phones and the base of deck phones worse than many cell phones. So, you know, you definitely want to get rid of any kind of cordless phone in your house. I know someone that knew all kinds of stuff about, I mean, she was a naturopath. She had medical missionaries, you know. Anyway, she was.
I want to clarify about this microwave oven because.
That cordless phone. She died from a cordless phone. Out in the middle of nowhere, it was her only source of radiation throughout the home, the only source. And she was an amazing woman, Arlene Steiner. Anyway, she was a sweetheart. Yes, she was Jewish, but she was like, she was actually an amazing woman. But, you know, I'm just saying she's was one of our friends and very much part of our community, very generous.
What you're saying is reminding me of our friend Mary, who the only thing she had in her home was the smart meter, and she ended up with a brain tumor. They would not take that smart meter off the house. So there's, I guess all it takes is one device. With microwave ovens, they just turn on for 5 minutes. Do you know what I'm saying? And pump out radiation for 5 minutes. With the smart meters, the cordless phones, with the cell phones, this is 24/7 exposure.
No, as long as it's plugged in the wall. That is what my friend Barbara, her husband, had to have his heart replaced. They didn't unplug it from the wall. They couldn't because it was in placed inside the wall in this house, and they didn't think about turning off the breaker. So he had a couple other exposures along with her. Mm. He did a lot of cooking, and the microwave oven beam was right hitting to his heart.
It shouldn't be beaming when it's not turned on. That's bizarre.
Do some research on that.
Maybe they've changed it. Maybe they've put now transmitters. Like, I bought a coffee maker about a year ago when my landlord, my relative landlord, was coming to visit and drinks coffee. I went and bought a coffee maker. I plugged that thing in, and it starts. Immediately, anything I buy electric, I take out my meter to check it. That thing had a microwave transmitter in it. When it was plugged in, it was blasting. And I'm like, this is insane. Of course, I returned it immediately.
It was just a coffee maker, not a
It was just
water.
A Mr. Coffee maker. I'm not kidding. You have to check every device. Like, I just ordered a small refrigerator on Amazon because I want to unplug the big one when I sleep, okay? And I want to keep the small one. In any event, I get an email from them saying you can get a discount from your utility company for using our refrigerator, and immediately I think, oh man, I bet there's wireless stuff in this. So I'll probably have to return it once it gets here, because I'm going to plug it in and test it, of course, immediately.
Right.
Everything.
Oh yeah. And you have to.
Yeah.
It's the way it is. So yeah, that's why I mentioned this, what is it? Semprotec. Oh, yeah. I should just pull it up. It's Brian Hoyer in Sandpoint is selling them, and he opened another store called the Shielding Shop. And so we're going to get to check it out for the first time Saturday. It's going to be delivered finally.
Can you give me the website when you bring it up, because I'm interested to keep a note of it also.
And then let me go ahead and grab that real quick.
Yeah, and then I want
to keep talking.
Yeah, I wanted to bring it back to the topic of circumcision also. But while we're on the radiation issue, people need to know that they are bringing mini cell towers into their house with these electronic devices, and everybody should have a meter. And if you can get a meter that measures magnetic fields and the ELF, you know, the lower level electric fields, as well as the RF, the radio frequencies and microwaves, you want to get that kind of a meter. Especially if it's only $200, that's a pretty good deal. Everybody should have a meter, and everybody should get on this issue to protect their lives, to protect their children, and to protect the animals and the birds and the insects that are in their environment.
Yeah, I'd share my screen if you wanted me to,
I think you have to request it. You have to try to hit share screen, and then it'll say, I think it'll say something about send request.
It says it's disabled. Host disabled screen sharing. You would have to enable it for me. That's all. I mean, you know, this is all learning how to do it. But it's, I can send you, just go to the shieldingshop.com. And it was Chris Steiner who has Liberation Station.
Yeah.
You know, he has a radio show. He was the one who turned me on to them. And then I realized it was Brian Hoyer. I was calling, I didn't realize it was, zero EMF. I thought it was an OEMF. They had their 800 number, 833 something, you know. And so I was like dialing it. I got Frontier, and I was frustrated with the order. And then I realized when I got the right number, it was definitely Brian Hoyer.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't figure out how to enable this to let you share the screen. Why don't you tell everybody, what is the website? Can you spell it out for us?
The Shielding Shop, like you're shielding something, theshieldingshop.com. And it's $207. It's the best deal. I mean, it makes anything that we've bought and spent hundreds of dollars on look like it's, you know, preschool. This is the advanced. thing.
Okay, good. I'll definitely check this out. I have appreciated the Safe and Sound Pro 2 because it totally shows the pulses.
Yeah.
And I do want to come back to the topic of circumcision, but very briefly, I live in an area where there's no towers. There's no towers within a 3-mile radius. There's no Wi-Fi in this house. There's no cell phone, nothing. Okay. I was outside the other day replanting some pots. I was out there for maybe a half an hour and I came in and I felt so sick. And I was like, what? And I know this feeling. Okay. It's induced by the pulses. So I'm like, okay, what the hell is going on? I go back outside with the Safe and Sound Pro, and there's nothing until I come right under the electric line coming into the house. And all of a sudden, there's pulses constantly, only, 4 or 5 milliwatts per centimeter squared, but just enough to set my body into a tailspin. Okay, and that's because other people that are on these wires, they have Wi-Fi. You see, I don't.
Right.
I don't have a smart meter. Okay, but they.
It's going through the electric lines.
100%. So I cannot stand in that spot. I can be anywhere else on this property, but I can't be under the electric lines. I can't be anywhere near that electric line because there's pulsing. It's amazing.
And you have no smart meter on your house, or you
no,
do?
No, I have an analog meter, which is why I took this place.
Wow, what
it's
a blessing.
Very, very rare. Analog meter, no cell towers in a 3-mile radius, and I can get wired internet. Seriously?
That is a blessing.
That
you
is.
Better hold on to that place. Hold on to that place.
You know, because it's what I had. It's
I
mean, what I
had. Yeah.
I had in my mind that that's what I need. Even if I had an opt-out meter, an opt-out digital meter, that thing is still pulsing, and I have to live in a Faraday canopy when I'm in a place with an opt-out meter.
Uh-huh.
So I this is the first place I've been in 5 years that I don't have to live in a Faraday canopy.
Wow.
You know? So it's a blessing to be here, as much as there's issues. There's issues with the house, but that part of it's really good. So,
let's go back to circumcision.
I just want to say we are all creating this reality,
right?
From trauma, from our past trauma, and that's what we need to understand, is that our trauma drives. I was going to say to you earlier. People go to give birth in hospitals because they themselves were birthed in hospitals. Women tend to give birth the way that they were born. You see, we do this unconsciously. And even if a woman becomes conscious and says, I don't want to go to the hospital, the husband will say, you have to go to the hospital. He doesn't feel safe unless it's a hospital birth, because we are carrying our stuff with us into the birth field. Mothers and fathers.
Right. Yeah, I was like determined to break all that, myself.
Yeah.
Here, my sister was home birth, and then she ended up with a hospital birth. But, I was the one that was determined. It was like, that's the only way. Even though I was a hospital birth, a midwife, had two women that were in labor. My mother was one of them. So I ended up in a hospital and not wanting to be. So that was the part of the trauma too. Because if anyone should have been home birth, it would have been me. My mother and I are very bonded on, even the circumcision issue. We were into all that stuff. I read The Secrets of the Unborn Child, and I immediately shared it with my mom. So when my mom passed, I had two of everything, because I inherited her books. Sharing back and forth. I was one of the first people to grab John Rappaport's book, AIDS, Scandal of the Century, when he was just coming out. And I said, oh my gosh, you've got to get this, Mom. She couldn't find it anywhere. And I said, I'll just buy one and send it to you,
Nice.
We actually had a library. I got my library to order it.
Yeah.
And way back in the day when the libraries weren't quite as censored.
But, so you said you ended up in a hospital birth despite doing
right. No, I ended up one because the midwife had two women go into labor at the same time.
Oh.
And my mother was one of them. And so she couldn't be at two places at the same time, so she had us meet in the hospital.
I see.
But she didn't have, was this before the day of birthing centers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, and then my daughter was home birthed, and then her daughter was actually, in a bathtub. I mean, they were doing the kiddie pools. So they would get the kiddie pools and fill them up with warm water. So she actually birthed that way in the morning.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. I know in my own case, I mean, I really prepared for a home birth with my baby, but I wasn't aware of how past birth trauma can influence a birth. And of course, she was born in the water, but we were both rushed to hospitals. I was hemorrhaging and she was not breathing. And there was so much trauma, so much trauma. Like, if I knew ahead of time how birth trauma can affect things, I would not have even attempted a home birth unless I had sought healing from my past birth trauma, which is why I do the work I do today, because it's so critical, the healing of our trauma. If we do want to give birth at home, it certainly helps to work on.
Yeah, for both men and women. This is both men and women. This is not just men. And, this is a huge, topic to me. I mean, I was in labor all weekend, and the support I had, I mean, I tell people over and over again, make sure you have a nurturing mother. If your mother's not there, have someone who is willing to breathe with you, willing to cradle you, because for me, I became like the child that needed to be, have support from an adult.
Yeah.
I wanted someone to breathe with me, to be with me. And if your partner's not that person, then you need to have someone. And the midwives were just observing while my mother and my husband were wondering when the rising sign was going to be. Intellectualizing about the birth while
I had
and pooping on the kitchen floor, I'm in labor. I'm emptying out my bed. I mean, I'm just like, have no one. And it wasn't until my girlfriend got there that everything progressed.
Wow. That you felt safe enough.
Yeah, because my girlfriend was a newborn nursery nurse, and she started breathing with me and cradling me and looking in my eyes and totally being present with me.
Blessed be. That's a beautiful thing. Everybody deserves that, Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be wonderful if our beloved men, were able to be that for us. But a lot of the men right now are not able to do that. They are having difficulty accessing their own emotions, much less holding space for somebody else's, the intensity of somebody else's process. So, and I think that's in large part because of what's happened to the men, that they have been, there's a what they call a psychological problem called alexithymia, that they say is a result of circumcision, where circumcised men, not all, but many of them, have trouble accessing their emotions, identifying their emotions, and correctly identifying what's happening for other people, like empathizing. Being able to be.
This is like, men that don't cry. That's that's really intense for me. If a man is so suppressed that he has all these emotions and all he can do is lash out, and he can't realize, something that is so horrific and just cry, just release those emotions. But a man that can't cry is always kind of a red flag to me when it calls for crying,
Yeah.
The situation, spiritual midwifery, I hold on to my spiritual midwifery book from Minna Mae Gaskin, because it has pictures, it shows couples lovingly giving birth to their babies where the man is supportive. It has pictures, Denise, and it's just like a classic book. And you know, there's a regular listener of RBN that was part of that. I'm wondering if his picture is in there. I feel like going through it again, but he said, yeah, they gave birth with a NMA gasket at the farm.
Do you know, I'm sorry to bust anybody's bubble. Ina McGaskin, number one, is a Jewess. Number two, circumcised not only her own son,
really,
but other babies.
Really?
Yes. In fact, in the first edition of the book, she speaks about this. Her son wants nothing to do with her. They've had major issues. And
wow.
She is a sexual pervert, in my opinion. When
really?
I read things about her touching pregnant women's nipples and stuff like this to stimulate, you know, get your flipping hands off of people. What the hell? I mean, maybe some women are okay with this.
Well, no, the thing is, I did that at Lachey League. I was a Lachey League leader. And I would help women, but I would demonstrate on myself, you know, like an inverted nipple, you know, how you do that. But I would literally show them with my own breast how to do it themselves.
Right, yeah.
No, that's an invasion of someone's space.
No kidding. She's a disgust. I met her, and I'm just like, I met her before I knew all of this, and I did not like her energy at all when I met her.
Well, this is all revealing. So thank you. I still like her book because it shows couples coming together and the father supporting the birth of his children. He's there. He catches the birth. He's loving on his wife while she's in labor. I mean, it was those things that I took away from it.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
so
beautiful.
More information, but I really didn't know that. And I, you know, that was, you know, early on, even when I had my daughter, you know, there's usually a period. We were very free with sharing our nudity. I mean, even my parents, we went to nudist camps. I mean, so, but there's a point where children are, you know, curious about the opposite sex. You know, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, a little girl sees a penis, you know, or a boy sees that his mother doesn't have a penis, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, those kind of, they reach an age where they're curious and, you know, then they want to touch it, and then it's like, no, you have to teach them right then and there. That is my personal, you know, that's my personal. Yeah, no, only I'm allowed, and that's for you too. So this is a big lesson early on, that this is my personal, you know, only I touch this, and only you touch your thing, you know?
Yeah, right on. I want to come back to the fathers, because what jumped into my mind, of course, is that the parenting program, I teach the Birth of a New Earth parenting program that's starting on the 15th. And it's one of the only programs that I'm aware of where we're actually focused on the father's role during the childbearing year. You know, I think I had three 2-hour segments on that topic alone. This coming parenting program is going to be different, because right now it's coming in for me to teach the teachers, okay, that this information has to be disseminated from people who are not me. I mean, I'm still going to be sharing the information, but I'm not going to be here in this body forever, as far as I know. So that's one thing that it has to be passed to the younger people, but also not everybody's going to feel safe with me. I'm an intense person, you know? So the younger people need to have other people teaching them who are not my strong point is addressing the shadow. Okay. Not everybody wants to go there. And so.
All right. You actually take courage, and you're a very courageous woman, Denise. I mean, seriously, you're one of the most courageous women I know, and it's very important that people are able to face, you know, the mind control, their shadow, the things that, you know, are keeping them from fulfilling the reason they even came here at this time.
Exactly.
You need to constantly, you know, find out, well, what's keeping me from experiencing my full potential. Mm-hmm. I mean, until we address that, you know, we're you know, just wallowing, you know, around here, you know, mm-hmm. without any real direction.
The question I had, and that I think a lot of people have, is what is preventing me from experiencing enduring human love? Like, why have I gotten to this age? I mean, I've been married twice and I have loved deeply, but those relationships did not endure. What did I do wrong? What's happening in our civilization that is causing the breakdown of love? I wanted to really understand that, and also understand in myself where the blocks are to having that experience, because I don't know of anything else that would really bring true human happiness. What brings happiness is authentic human love and the creation of a happy, healthy family, you know, with healthy children and grandchildren. And you know what I'm saying? Like that, this is...
Oh, right. Well, I'm having a connection with our soul and our creator. I mean, those are like...
That too, yes.
If you don't have that, you really can't have a healthy family. You have to understand that we are spiritual beings in a physical body, and you need to be able to traverse that correctly. And I mean, there is, believe it or not, I think there is some wisdom in the Bible. You know, I mean, if the man is spiritually mature and actually asks and seeks that guidance from Creator and through his soul, I mean, he starts, you know, going through that maturation process, you know, just like some of these Native American ceremonies, you know, that where the men, you know, become real men through these ceremonies that they do, where they go from, you know, teenage to adulthood, and, you know, they get really clear about their ego mind versus their, you know, soul mind and how to tame it. And then those are the kind of men that make great fathers, you know, because they're able to appropriately teach their children and help them navigate on a, you know, healthy pathway.
This brings up a very important topic. One of the things that I teach and that I also learned through the Ringing Cedars books is the fact that women during pregnancy are creating the physical body of the child, but the men are responsible for the spiritual body, for the spiritual development of the child. And all throughout pregnancy, they should have very strong visions of their child's future, seeing their children as happy and healthy and with a, you know, a deep connection to the Creator and to all of creation, those kinds of images of their child, and building a strong spiritual foundation for their child. Whereas if you are raised by a man that is, for example, Jewish and insists on circumcision, that is going to create a damaged individual, a damaged child.
Okay, and the Ringing Cedars, this is actually really important to me because I, you know, I've read every single book just like you, but I did not go to Russia and see the dolmen.
Dolmens, yeah.
So, you know, one of the stories I really, really liked is it was at some point a patriarchal society, and the men were the ones that would go into a dolmen and catch wisdom to carry on the tribe. Well, this one woman says, I need to go ahead and pass on my wisdom and go into the dolmen. So it was a big deal that she was in the dolmen, you know, a woman. But she says, I need to pass this on to our tribe of people. And what it was that the women need to take the breastfeeding experience. It is not just for bonding, not just for nutrition or any of that. It's for her to take it as a meditation and prayer and channel the divine through her and into the baby. Mm-hmm. And that was really powerful to me.
What I took from that, you know, because Anastasia's great-great-grandmother or something was the woman that went in the dolmen to pass on the teachings about breastfeeding, is that whatever a woman knows regarding spiritual things, that information gets passed on through the breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever knowledge, true knowledge we have about the Creator, and I'm not talking about the God of the Bible, I'm talking about the real Creator, whatever we understand about the Creator, about creation, about our role in creation, all of this gets passed on to the baby through the breast milk. And we should, one of the things she says is, we should not be distracted when we're nursing. We should be focused, eye to eye contact with the baby when we're nursing, because we are passing on a tremendous amount of knowledge. And of course, love. Love gets conveyed through eye contact. The neurobiology of love gets activated through eye contact. So people, you know, women are like on their phones and, you know, watching TV and doing all this other stuff when they're nursing.
This well, is even me. I remember I went from an A to a B. I was never like well endowed, you know. So I remember being in the grocery store. I mean, I was, you know, you have to understand my nipples were flat and slightly inverted, so I had to do a lot of this, you know, that technique to, I forget what it's called now, but there was a technique to help to pull out the nipple.
Oh, wow.
Where you're basically retracting. You're doing like you're going 12 and 6 o'clock on the sides retracting tissue around the nipple to help it to pull out. So that's something that I was upset that midwives aren't checking more, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it took Christy 9 days to figure out how to
watch.
Yeah, she had a pound and an ounce less than her birth weight. She had a flat, depressed fontanelle. And it was a survival instinct that kicked in. Because I was not, I mean, if we went to a pediatrician or anything like that, they would have taken her away from me for child neglect.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's not now. But no, I was determined. And you know what really gave me that courage is the Mexico earthquake. Because they found newborns at 9 days old that when they scream, they have the high-pitched screaming, right? And then nothing happens. And they literally just shut down and conserve all their energy. And so they found babies in the rubble with the newborn nursery, right? And they were totally healthy and able to be adopted out. Not, I mean, 9 days, no, you know, dehydration. They were able to be totally human because they literally just conserved energy and shut down. They didn't just die. After their screams were unheard, they had to stop, you know, conserve energy. So that inspired me, you know, frankly, to, you know, just, I mean, I was like squeezing milk into her mouth and the whole thing, but she never developed a strong suck because the tip of the, this is why I was a Little H League leader, you know, I had, you know, my Little H League support there, had a huge nipple, and mine's like this, hardly poking out at all. And the nipple's supposed to hit the roof of the mouth to stimulate that strong suck. Well, I never had that. So she was always jawing. So she was literally attached to me all the time. I had to wear her, like, constantly. So I had this really cool pack called a Baby Matey made in Canada. And it was, like, the most awesome thing. I could flip her around here and flip her around so she could see and have her arms restrained. So she was in one position or another. She's either breastfeeding or, you know, like this. So I wore her like constantly.
Nice.
And you know what? It was, guess who made that? I discovered it over the years. Etta West, one of my very best friends, who had founded Vaccine Risk Awareness Network, which is now Vaccine Choice Canada. She was the founder. She was like the Barbara Lowe Fisher of Canada, right? She founded the whole thing. That was her creation.
Wow. Beautiful.
I mean, beautiful. I'm like, what? You developed the baby? Why? Why? You know, I mean, we were like making patterns of it at our Little H League meetings so other people could get it, you know. But it wasn't designed for the well-endowed. It was, you have to something else. But for, you know, a person that was like me, you know, not like, you know, C and D, you know, boom, boom.
Yeah. You know, I want to come back to your comment about babies, the high-pitched screaming, which, of course, we're almost out of time, so I want to kind of come back to the topic of circumcision real quick. The high-pitched screaming, which, of course, babies will do when they're being circumcised, and then the shutdown.
Right.
Which is called parasympathetic shock or dissociation, where the body is on automatic pilot. Basically, it's a survival mechanism. We see this a lot in circumcised babies. And it's interesting that we're also seeing it in babies that are in the middle of an earthquake, right? That they dissociate and all of their right. resources are used for complete survival, and they can survive. But the trauma, I'm sure, stays with them, you see, and that's what we need to.
Yeah, I'm sure my daughter went through some trauma. You know, she said there were two incidences that were not like circumcision. Now, circumcision to me is a different level of trauma. You are literally taking a piece of skin that's perfectly adhered to the glands. I mean, it's the foreskin is glued like the skin on your finger. It's like a
fingernail, you know, it's like lifting your fingernail off your.
So this is not meant to be retracted at all. And what pediatricians will do to an uncircumcised baby, this is what happened to a friend of mine. He was, did not want the pediatrician to touch him at all. But all of a sudden, the pediatrician grabs her son's penis right in front of her at 1 year old and forces it back, the foreskin. And that baby screamed and grabbed the glasses off the doctor. Just went ahead and grabbed those glasses. And then his poor little penis was so sore. This is a year old. They're doing this to newborns.
They're abusive. This is total flipping abuse. You do not retract a foreskin if it's still on the penis. This kid was lucky to still have the foreskin, but the pediatricians have to come and intervene and abuse the kid nonetheless. So now he's more likely to get infections and all kinds of stuff from the pediatrician's abuse.
Right. And then they talk about, well, yeah, they're going to get infections. This is why you have to circumcise. They're creating the problem.
Exactly. 100%.
I want everybody to be really clear about that pediatricians, when they deal with uncircumcised penises and try to force it back, it's not supposed to retract. It can be 8 years old. I've heard of a boy's being 10 years old when his foreskin started retracting.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's more their sexuality. It's when they're old enough to actually bathe and take care of themselves, okay? They don't need to until then.
It will retract on its own, in its own time, just like a birth should happen on its own, in its own time. We don't need the medical establishment inducing premature births through their induction of labor, which is a total ritual. You know, inductions are rituals into satanic cults. Police are inducted into the police academy. Military men are inducted into the military. This is a ritual. Okay, these are all rituals, Luciferian rituals that must end 100%. We are just almost out of time, Ingrid. Please, I want people to understand where to find you. When does your show air? All of that stuff. How do people find you?
Oh, I feel so bad. We got really diverted. We're going to just have to do this again. We can talk forever.
Yeah, we can.
I believe, this is going to be in a couple places, this interview. So, but I am on Saturday nights.
Republicbroadcasting.org, right?
Correct. It's Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, they call it, but that's the website to connect. And there are all the different ways to listen, but it's 5 to 7 Pacific time, 8 to 10 East Coast time, you know, 7 to 9 Central time. You know, you just have to figure out your time zone. But yeah, it's I've been doing this since 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2019. It was the first time I soloed. I used to have a show with my husband on the network called The American Activist, and then he was murdered. And then I started a show in 2014 with Al Whitney, and then she died of pancreatic cancer. I couldn't really talk sense into her. And I actually help people recover from cancer now, but, you know, a lot of people want to go
the pharmaceutical. How do people find you, Ingrid, besides the radio show? Keep in mind that Ingrid's radio show airs Saturday night from 8 to 10 Eastern, and this is going to air. This is going to air right after Ingrid's show, so you can catch Ingrid, and then you can catch Janice's show on Republic Broadcasting Network. What are your websites? How do people find?
So Vaccination Liberation is vaclib.org or .com. So it's
Vaclib. Yes. Okay.
For Vaccination Liberation, or if you can't figure that one out, just go to vaccinetruth.com. vaccinetruth.net.
Okay.
And my business website where I help people recover their health naturally, that's humbleweed.net.
Great.
Humbleweed.net. Most of the people that find me have cancer, but there's a lot of other people. I mean, we have turbo cancers now, and that would be an interesting show, is the whole nicotine stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine artist.
Yeah, I've got a friend who's really into the nicotine thing. Maybe we should talk about that next time we get together.
Right.
I do want to close it up. I want people to know that they can find me at birthofanewearth.com. You can look at my books on my website. I've got many webinars. The MP4 video files are available from the webinars. There's one of my books. That was my first book.
Classic. Must own.
Yeah. And you can also find the parenting program for those who are interested to become conscious parents, or for those who are wanting to educate on this topic of conscious parenting. Ingrid, you should join this program and become one of the teachers. In any event, this particular parenting program starts the 15th, and it will be geared toward the teachers, teaching the teachers how to disseminate this information. In addition to me, I think it's going to become very necessary in the near future. A lot of people are going to be seeking how to do this.
It's every Fridays at, for how many hours?
It's on Fridays. We're going to do it at 4 o'clock on the 15th. And we're going to talk next Friday on the 15th about what would be a good time for everyone. We do have European students, so we may move it up to 3:30 or even 3. This is Eastern time I'm talking about, to make it easier for the European students. We're going to try to find a time that works for all the students, but you would be good, Ingrid, for this type of. Let's talk about this. It just dawned on me. All right, we got to go. I really thank you for your time, and God bless everybody that gets to listen to this, and God bless all the good people of the world. Dear Creator, we are here to do your service and to bring love back to this earth. Thank you for being with us, and just guide us all the way. All right. I'll see you soon, Ingrid. God bless everybody.
God bless you, too. Bye, honey.
Take care, honey. Bye for now. Breath of life is in a kiss, and a million stars touch my lips. I will fly. With love as a friend of mine.